Brilliant. Thanks, Helena, for that. So this morning, last time we're looking at this together, let's pray before we do it, shall we? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time in your word and help us, give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Good. Well, we've been on a long journey together, haven't we? Started this last September. Goodness me, we've all aged a bit since then, I think, haven't we? Through the winter and through Christmas and everything else. And we're back here now, and we come to the last few couple of verses. And it finishes, the letter finishes. I know Helena, I asked her, she didn't get it wrong. I asked her to read from there, okay, so that's fine. But we're looking at the last few verses, which are really about just like a closing few words and what can we learn through them. But as Paul often does, in some way or other, it usually sums up something of what's gone on in the rest of the letter. So that's what we're kind of going to do this morning. We've come a long way, as I say, we've looked at it. And the last couple of verses, so if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to it, but I think the word should come up on the screen behind us. These are the first couple of verses that we're going to look at this morning. Okay, but that you'll really realise why we read what we read before a bit later on. Okay, so now then, there's a big dispute about how you pronounce this fella's name. Tychicus or Tychicus. Tychicus, I quite like it. Probably means he was quite small, but then you know, only some of you will know what that means. Okay. But I don't know whether he was small or anything like that. And it's unfair to give him that. So we mustn't judge people by their names, must we? So let's not do that. Okay. I'm going to call him Tychicus because that's what I've always called him until recently, since somebody said it was Tychicus. And I just can't say that without a smile. So I'm sorry. So Tychicus, a dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending you for this very purpose. Sorry, sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. So peace to the brothers and sisters and love and faith from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying love. We'll come to that second bit in a moment. So two headings to finish this morning. Number one, because I really like this name, Terrific Tychicus, we're going to look at, if you can say that. And you'll probably remember it, Terrific Tychicus. And the other one is, there's an app on your phone you can get called What Three Words? Heard of it? And if you do that, it's three random words that are generated that if you remember them, you can actually, if you know those three words and put it into a GPS system or put it into your Google Maps, it'll take you to exactly where people are. So if you're lost, you can go on your system and you don't have to send a signal. You could look on the map and it will tell you what three words. You'll say the three words to the people on the rescuers and they'll come and get you. That's amazing, isn't it? Has anyone got that app? I've got it, definitely, because I'm always getting lost, so I need it. But it's a great app. Go look it up. What three words? It's brilliant. Anyway, so what three words? Three words that help us not get lost in the book of Ephesians. Peace, love and grace. We're going to look at them in a moment. But first of all, Terrific Tychicus. What can we learn from this chap? We don't get, like a lot of these people that Paul works with, you don't hear a lot about these people in the Bible. You know, there's not a lot for them. Back in Acts 20 and verse 4, it tells us that he's from the province of Asia. You're not going to get any notes up there today, see, do you? I just want a couple of simple points really today. But for Acts 20 and verse 4, he says he's from the province of Asia. Now, at this point, Paul has been to Ephesus. And in Acts, they've written about what happened there. And then he's travelled all round. So Ephesus is kind of, if you think of Turkey and where Istanbul is and the corner of Turkey where all the beaches are that everyone goes to. Ephesus is up sort of halfway up that sort of, as you go around the corner there. And then Paul went up that coast, across into Europe, down through Greece and Athens and Philippi and Corinth and all of those places, and then gets a boat and comes back to north of Ephesus, down through Ephesus, and eventually ends up in a place called Miletus, which is where he says goodbye to the Ephesians, and we'll look at that later on. So it's one of his journeys, you know, as he goes through. And a lot of the letters were written on those journeys or as he goes. But now Paul is in prison in Rome. That's where he is. And he's writing this letter. He's written this letter from Rome, from that house arrest. It's a kind of, he's in a house. He's not in a prison cell as it's such, but he's in a house in Rome, which has an area in it, which is, so it's not his house, but it's an area in it where they can tie up prisoners. And it's a very narrow and small area, and he's tied to a guard, and he's not allowed to go freely anywhere, but he can receive visitors. Bit like being in hospital these days, I think, and really what you said. That's kind of what it's like, okay? And so, and he's from the province of Asia, Tychicus, which means people often say, because of the people he mixed with, there's other references as well, that he might have actually been from Ephesus. So this letter that Paul's written to them is kind of to his hometown and to his home people. And so Paul mentions Tychicus here, doesn't he? Because he's now in prison. Tychicus has gone to Rome, and he's gone to see Paul. He's with Paul, and then he's going to go back. And we'll see why he goes back in a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's final letter. He's with Paul. He's with Paul. Right. He's with Paul there, and it mentions that he's with him in Rome. So Tychicus was actually with him right at the very start as well. So it looks like he's been with Paul as one of his companions in ministry all the way through his ministry since he's come onto the scene, as it were, really, more or less, and to the end. He's consistent and he's loyal. He's called a dear brother and faithful servant. He seems to be a lovely guy, doesn't he? And ultimately, his job was to be the postman. He's Postman Tychicus, okay? And that's who he is. And he comes and because he's a postman, he delivers a lot of Paul's letters. And the people think he delivered, obviously, this one to the Ephesians that we've been looking at. But he also delivers the letter to Colossians and one to Philemon, which we'll look at in a second. And maybe one or two others as well. Maybe 2 Timothy, they think, maybe the last letter as well. So he was Paul's emissary. Paul writes the letters, or was it Paul? There's a lot of people think that when Paul wrote his letters, because remember he writes in one of his letters about how his handwriting's so large, and they think he's got a thorn in the flesh. A lot of people have concluded from that he may have some eyesight problem or whatever problems he's got. But anyway, he talks about sending these letters with people, that's common. But a lot of people, commentators, think that actually Tychicus might have been one of the guys who helped Paul write his letters, and maybe he even wrote most of it down for him, scribed it. Paul told him and talked about it to him. It's interesting because Paul says that Tychicus will come and explain everything to you. He'll tell you everything. What did Paul mean by that? Well, actually, I think what it meant was that what we've just been saying, that remember what we said about the letters. So what would happen with one of Paul's letters is they'd arrive at the church or the group of people who they got together in a room like this morning, and they'd open the scroll, and somebody, whoever came with it, Tychicus or one of the others, would open it and just read it to the people. So people would be gathered, and as they're reading it, it would be open for the people to say, could you just explain that to us? What did he mean by that? Now, of course, Paul and Tychicus have been together, and they may have explained, and Paul would have explained it to him as well. This is what I'm trying to get across here. So he's not just scribed it, he knows more about it. So he is now able to almost teach or explain what Paul is trying to say in his letters to the people. So he's much more than a postman. Imagine that, your postman coming to your house, say, I'll just open this for you and I'll read it to you and explain what it means. Now, depending on what the letter is, that might not be a bad idea. That could be a new service. Perhaps you could start it as a business. Might be good. But, you know, that's what they did with Paul's letters. They opened it, they explained it a little bit, answered questions and things like that. And that's what he would do. Sitting alongside Paul, you've got this picture in my mind of them sitting there, and that little cartoon we had of Paul scribing there, trying to, and Tychicus actually writing it for him. And they're talking to each other as it's happening. Because he's got to know enough about Paul to tell you everything. Some people think that that's just, well, he'll tell you how I am. Well, what's to know? He's in prison and he's not great, you know. So it must mean more than that. He'll tell you everything. The inference is he's going to tell you something about what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to get across. He's not just passing it on. He reads it to them. He explains it to them. Why does he do that? The other reason, the clue that we get that he does this is that he's to encourage their hearts. That's what it says. Tychicus was going to encourage their hearts through what he said through this letter, explaining it to people. So it would seem to be that he is more than just a postman. He's explaining what's going on, and he's doing that. But the purpose is to encourage their heart. What a great job, what a great privilege to be able to do that. And how we all need encouragements. Look how he encourages their hearts. How does he do it? And it's significant. He encourages their hearts because, yes, they hear about how Paul is, but in one sense, that's not very encouraging. look at what happens if you follow my example and preach Christ in the way that I do. You could be sitting next to me tied to a prison guard. That's not very enticing, is it? That's hardly going to encourage people, is it? Now, he often used to write to them to encourage them and say, don't worry about me. I may be chained, but the gospel isn't. He's great, Paul, isn't he? He's ultimately about the word of God. And I think that's what he means here. I want him to encourage your hearts through the word that I'm saying to you about Christ, through the word of Christ. And in a sense, we've got the letter today. And God's word is meant to encourage our hearts. So in this world, just as an aside really, in this world, when we are struggling with so many things and we don't know where we're going, and we've heard it time and again in this letter, we know that we are safe because we are in Christ. But we only know we're in Christ because we've got God's word. And so we need to encourage ourselves in God's word. Paul writes to Thessalonians about them, and we're going to talk about that in the church I'm going to tonight to preach. And it's kind of like he's saying, encourage one another with these words. What's the words he says? It's the words of God and what he says about what happens when we die and go to heaven. And so he says to the Thessalonians at the end of their letters, encourage one another with these words. Talk to one another about this word. Explain it to one another. Exchange. And that's why, one of the fundamental reasons why we have A, gatherings and church, and B, small groups, life groups, where we can come together and encourage one another with these words. You know, you might not know an awful lot about scripture. You might not be the greatest theologian in the world, but you can be an encourager. Here's a verse that really spoke to me, and here's why it spoke to me. You could send that in a WhatsApp. You could send that anything. I mean, some of you do that. I know you do. And that's great. Encourage one another with these words. God's word is meant to encourage one another. It will rebuke us, and it will train us, and it will equip us. But ultimately, it's meant to encourage us. When the road is rough and steep, what do? Fix your eyes upon Jesus. And how do we find out about Jesus? Through his word. And that's it. And God has graciously given us this. And Paul is sending this letter with his emissary Tychicus. And Tychicus, this loyal, faithful servant, has taken it along. And he's going to go and risk going across the seas and everything else and sit with these people in Ephesus. And he's going to read it to them. But he's not just going to read it to them like a storybook. Does anyone remember Jack and Ori years ago? I mean, how could they make TV like that now? They couldn't redo it, could they? Because you've got to have moving pictures. But all it was somebody sitting in an armchair reading to you. Wasn't it? I loved it. I was a child, like, you know, but I did love it. Storytellers. Well, this is what Tychicus was doing. He was going to explain it. And the purpose of that was to encourage them. These words that I'm writing, Paul says, will encourage you. We know the situation with Ephesus. We've talked about it many times. The goddess Diana, the sexual immorality, the rich and the poor, and all of that sort of thing that was going on, this idol worship that was everywhere, the big theatre, the massive theatre there, remember we saw a picture of that, and all of these things, idols everywhere and all that sort of stuff, they needed encouragement that everything was still in God's hands. And Paul says, Tychicus is going to bring my word to you about God, and it will encourage you. And that's what we need to see in God's word as well. So, how often are you reading God's word? How many times do you dig into it? Are you just reading it? Why don't you just read the letters as they are? You can buy a book that'll help you. You go to the Our Daily Bread conference and get stuff from there. That'll be great. That'll help you read it. But just read it. Read the word of God. Let it encourage your hearts. The other interesting thing about these messengers with God's word is that those of us who've been meeting on Saturday mornings once a month for Equipped to Serve, we've been studying Romans. And the one who takes the letter of Romans to Rome is a lady called Phoebe. So here's, Paul's very, he talks about the roles that God has given us as men and women in society and what have you. And here's Paul sending somebody who is very close to him to take this letter to the Romans as well. So it's all of us can do this, no matter who we are. And in their day, women weren't treated very well at all, as you know. They were kind of seen as second class goods and chattels to the men and all that kind of thing. That's their culture. That's what they did. And it wasn't what Paul was encouraging there. But he uses Phoebe, in a sense, Phoebe on this dangerous mission across the sea to take the letter of one of the greatest letters ever written, one of the greatest explanations of the gospel of Romans. And so Phoebe would have had to sit before those people and explain that to and answer their questions. So women, there's a role for all of us in this, isn't there, as well? Don't discount yourself in all of these things. We need to do that. I don't know whether you do that, probably not in our day, but certainly that's the case. We need to stand up and do this. And when Paul wrote to the Romans, at the end of the book, he wrote this: I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Conchere. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help that she may need from you, for she has been a benefactor to many people, including me. Great to be used by God. And the thing really is, going back to Tychicus, is it's that servant heart that is willing to go and do that, to just take something and, if you like, and be the servant and be the carrier and take the good news and take what's going to encourage people. I'm willing to take that, but I'll take the responsibility. It is a responsibility. I won't just do it, I'll take this, but I will come to church, here's a good one, on Sunday mornings, or go to the life group, or go to whatever meeting I'm going to, and I will make my bit, and ask God, give me an opportunity to encourage somebody when I go. It's not just for Will to do that, or the pastor, whoever's speaking, but it's for us all. We've said this many times, we are to be encouragers of one another. And the best way to do that is come, well, what's God said to me this week? If nothing else, I can go and speak to people and say, do you know what God said to me this week? Really encourage me. Encourage one another with these words. The character of faithful servants and his qualifications for the job. He had to be humble. He had to be a man of integrity. He couldn't get lost. He couldn't nick it or anything like that. He had to be a man of integrity, mobility, and flexibility. He had to be ready to go, ready for anything. Remember, we talked about that before. Ready to do God's will, to be God's servant, God's faithful, humble servant. To be ready to listen to what God is saying and not say, Lord, I'll wait till conditions are better before I go. Or I've got this, like Jesus told the parable, didn't he? He called the people to his banquet. I know that was a picture of salvation, but you know, I've married this, I've bought the cow, I've done all these things, I've got a field, I've got lots of work I need to do. I can't do all these things. And God's saying, I just want you to be humble servants, ready to give your time, your treasure, and your talents, and your trust to me, first and foremost. And that is a challenge, isn't it? Because we're all busy. We've all got stuff to do. We've all got families and things that we need to look after and work to do and what have you, responsibilities. But Paul is saying here, in a sense, this example of Tychicus is, take the responsibility to be an encourager, to be what God wants you to be in your church, in our church, whatever it might be. Because remember, Paul is writing this to a church. And to be okay with playing second fiddle. Because we don't know much about Tychicus and many of the other people who go around with Paul. But we only know the bits that he remembers. He calls them faithful servants because he spent ages with them. We don't know them. They're not men of history or women of history in one sense. But you have to be prepared for that, don't you, to be okay. One of the greatest exponents of that, we mentioned him before, is Barnabas. When Barnabas went to Antioch to plant the church there, he was the big cheese. He went there, if you like, to find out. He'd been sent from Jerusalem to go find out how this church was going on. And when he got there, he was encouraged. But he remembers Saul. I remember him. He's a brilliant teacher. He's probably better than me. And actually, he struggled for the last 7 years or so, which is the truth of it. And he says, I'll go and get him. He'll be brilliant here. I'll go and encourage him and bring him in. Now, he knew Paul was a handful, but he went and got him anyway. He knew that probably if Paul came, he would take the limelight and he wouldn't be in the front anymore. But he brought him anyway. And Paul, dutifully, when you read the scriptures through, read Acts through, it starts off as Barnabas and Saul. It's not long before it's Paul and Barnabas, because he's willing to take second fiddle. A good servant of God is willing to take second fiddle to anybody, provided it's going to encourage them and bring God's word to them. And that's Tychicus here, and Barnabas, and the others, and Phoebe, and all the rest. Are you prepared to be a nobody in order to serve somebody? Like Tychicus was. It's God's purpose for all of us, really, in that sense. Ordinary people serving God, completing his work here on earth. It's back to being, my security isn't in what I do. It's not in the job that I do. I need to have a job. I must be important. I must be whatever. Maybe you don't think like that. I must hide. I mustn't do anything because I'm too scared. No, our security comes from being in Christ. It's what this letter tells us. And therefore, in Christ, we have something to share with the rest. So share your bit of what it means to you to be being in Christ with the others. encourage one another with these words. I'm secure in my identity when I'm with Christ. The other mention, when one of the other letters that Tychicus took was to the Colossians. It was probably on the way. He took the Ephesian one maybe before or after he'd gone to Colossae. But the ending, the way Paul talks about in Colossians about Tychicus is almost exactly the same. In Colossians 4 and verse 7, it's not going to come up there, I don't think, but it will be. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about the our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that's happening here. So again, encouraging the hearts with fellowship and with the word of God. Because we're in Christ. Notice the word Onesimus was going with him. And those of you who know your Bibles a little bit will know where he comes from. The book of Philemon. Little tiny book in the New Testament. With one chapter. And he was the one, again, entrusted with taking Onesimus to Philemon. Onesimus was Philemon's slave. He'd been set free and he'd gone to work with Paul. He'd obviously become a Christian. And he's a faithful brother. He's described as that. And Tychicus was to take him back along with Paul's letter and explain it all. It's a wonderful little picture of what was going on there, isn't it? How people were just willing to serve, willing to do what God wants them to do for the sake of God's kingdom. So Tychicus, as we finish with him, was living in the light, led by the Spirit, all the themes of Ephesians. He was typifying what Paul wrote to us. He lived in the light. He walked in the light. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit to serve the Lord, trusted and reliable, and a great example for us today. Terrific Tychicus. Don't forget that. All right. Over your lunch. What three words? Peace, love, and grace. And this next verse should come up on there as well, the next part of the verse. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the end of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. It's actually how Paul starts his letter as well. He has peace and grace the other way around. He starts with grace and peace to you. And that's for Paul what the kingdom's about. Grace, peace, love. Great three words to use to sum up Paul's letter. And as we kind of bring things together as we finish today, we've learned a little bit about Tychicus, but how could we sum up such an enormous, wonderful letter? Well, these three words really do help us. First of all, peace. Our peace in this world, inside of us, and our peace with each other, and our unity and everything else that goes with it, only comes in Christ. That's what this letter teaches us. Churches that want to make peace with one another and make, you know, and work together and all those things, it doesn't come any other way than being in Christ. And being in Christ means wrapped up in all that he's done for us. We've said that many times, haven't we? Being in Christ means that I am wrapped up. I am only who I am because of what Christ has done for me on the cross. He's rescued me. He's called me in his grace. And he's rescued me and he's saved me and he's put my feet on a rock. He's made my footsteps firm. I am in Christ. And the glory of that is that I'm in Christ for eternity. So I'm safe, wrapped up in his arms of grace. No one can ever snatch me out of his hand. I may want to wander and I may get in trouble and all that kind of thing, but God will always come. He's like the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep, being in Christ. And so that's what we've learned. And we have peace as a result of that. Ultimately, in this tumultuous world, we can know peace because of Jesus, can't we? And he talks about in the book that in Ephesians as well, he brings people together. We saw it on that little video, two becoming one. He talks about it in marriage. He talks about it in Jew and Gentile. He talks about it, God's people, because God's ultimate, the great mystery we talked about, didn't we, that is being revealed in these days is that this world is not just randomly meandering its way to a disastrous end at some point. Okay. But no, this is God's world. God's made it and he's bringing it to his fulfillment and his purposes. And his purpose is to unite everybody, remember, under one head, which is Christ. Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, whatever we are, we're going to be one day. But those of us who will be saved will be united under one head, who is Christ. So that one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul says it consistently through his letters, doesn't he? And that's what it's all about, two becoming one. And so God is drawing us together. under one head, Christ. It's a glorious inheritance. It will happen because God says it will happen. So the church is meant to be a picture of that. So we learned about our unity, didn't we? Chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you making every effort? Are we doing that? Make every effort to keep it, the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. God has brought us together. We shouldn't be driving a wedge between what God has brought together. Of course, there are times when we will disagree. Again, we saw in that little video. But if we disagree in love and we come together and we agree to disagree on maybe secondary issues, there are primary issues about the gospel that we can't, you know, if you disagree with that, then you would probably not be saved and what have you. But there are lots of other secondary issues that the Bible isn't 100% clear about, which Christians over the years have managed to disagree about so vehemently that they never talk to each other again. And it's bad enough in this country, but if you go to the States, it's even worse. There's tribes built around all these different people who believe different things about the end times and all the rest of it. Folks, that's not what God has called us to. He's called us to peace. He's called us to trust him for the truth. Yes, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. We are all sinners and we all need our Saviour and we all need his grace. And so we make every effort to keep the unity of that Spirit in the bond of peace. And then so peace is only from God. It can only be in that way. And it's interesting as we're talking, and we haven't got time to go into this morning, but you know, when you think of the wars and things that are going on in the world, the only way this world is ever going to be at peace, and it won't be this world, it'll be the next, is when Christ comes and reigns and brings everyone together. Those who look to him. And he has the final victory over all sin, over all death, over all hatred, over all war, and over everything. That's why he is our only hope. And so that's why we need to be in Christ. Second word, love. Chapter 5 and verses 1 to 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This chapter is all about how do we live, how do we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? We walk in love. And that love comes out of, is grown out of soil. And that soil is Christ, if you like. And we're all in the same soil. The only way we're going to know love that Christ gives us is being in him. We can't love out in the same way outside of Christ. There's lots of people who are very loving in this world in all sorts of ways. But true love, true Christian love only comes in Christ. So we walk in that love. We allow ourselves to be planted in the soil of Christ and his word. And allow it to shape us and form us and equip us to be like, to love like Jesus. Follow the way of love. And it's summed up in that word that we looked at a lot recently, submission. Submission to Christ. That's how we live in the soil of his love. We submit to him in everything. And we work that out in our lives as well, following God's good design for our lives. We give ourselves up just like Christ gave himself up for us. But submission to Christ, it's only through him. And Paul's prayer for them in chapter 3 and 14, which is what Helena read, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, when we talked about that, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in the soil of his love, doesn't say that, but I did, may be, I have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp just how great his love is for you. And once you know how great his love is for you and what being in Christ means, you are secure forever. That's what this Bible, this letter tells us in the Bible. You will be secure forever. You will know peace and you'll know love like you've never known before. A love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. That's a great prayer. You know, if you're looking for something to pray for people, I've said this before, but there's two great prayers there in Ephesians. Pray them over your friends, over other people in this fellowship. If you don't know what to pray for anyone and you get that prayer list, what do you pray? Go to Ephesians chapter 3 or Ephesians chapter 1. Find the prayers and pray them over people. Because they're brilliant for us to do that. Rooted and established in the soil of his love, strengthened by it, enlightened by the Spirit, together with all the Lord's people. Remember, he says, this is something we do together. We encourage one another. and we love one another and we share God's word with one another, walking in love. And the final word is grace. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, this great chapter on grace and mercy. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not by works, so that you won't boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Don't ever forget the grace of God. So if you're struggling again, go back, look at the video, or just read the word about chapter 2 and God's grace. You were dead, but now you're alive because of Christ and his grace. He rescued you. He brought you alive. Paul's last words to when he went to visit Ephesus, and before he wrote this letter, he wrote it later, obviously. But when he was visiting Ephesus, and I mentioned it last week, Acts chapter 20 again, verse 32 onwards, it's recorded his last words to them. He's on the beach in Miletus and he's speaking to them. And he's saying his goodbyes to them. But he mentions this again. Now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. His last words to them, and his last words perhaps to us, from this letter. I know it's from Acts, but what he could say to us. I commend you to God and his grace and his peace and his love, and you'll know about them through his word. Hang on to these things. They're the most important things you will ever know about yourself, honestly, because it's where you will find your security and your hope and your peace. No one else will give you that. Nowhere else will you find that. When you're struggling in life, this is what you need to know as a Christian. So hang on to it. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. And then it goes on a little bit, and then the final bit's quite poignant. When Paul had finished speaking to them, he knelt down with all of them and prayed, and they all wept as they embraced and kissed him. That's how important God's word is to us, isn't it, really? Now, obviously, they were going to miss him. And it says that they were particularly sad about the fact that he'd probably never see them again. So he was going away, but God's word was still with him. And then later on, he writes this fantastic letter to them. And he sends it with Tychicus, his faithful servant. And he says, I want to encourage you. Are you still living in this way? Remember the beach when we were on there and what I said? Are you still living in his grace and his love and his peace and his hope? Come on, guys. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember what he's done. And it's as if Paul's saying that to us this morning as we finish here today. And with that, we leave Ephesus behind. It's sad, really. Don't cry, but it's a bit sad, really. A final prayer as we finish this morning. And it's going to come up, I think, on the screen, is it? And I think we should say it together as we finish, and then I'll pray for us. Are you ready? After three. One, two, three. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Great prayer, isn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful letter. We thank you for all that we've learned from it, Lord, and we pray that your words would dwell in us richly and bear fruit in every season that it needs to of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.